Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. This is our Monday call, which we shifted just from some travel issues, but welcome. So we're going to cover some ground here. We're going to try to keep it to 15 minutes. Just to kind of refresh, so there's a virus that's spreading, and this is just an amazing piece of history that we're living through. So the steps to control this virus, we've got a new word called social distancing that we've got in our vernacular, and it's really creating social disorder. But social distancing is being encouraged, and this is really, I think I don't want to over dramatize this, but there's really a war to get this thing under control as it spreads. And this is global, but in the United States now, we've seen major events canceled or postponed, including Broadway shows, NCAA basketball, concerts, the list goes on and on. Both Adam and I were out this last weekend, and firsthand, I mean, you can see this thing is just affecting restaurants and hotels, and so it's a moment in time. The question then is how long will this last? But even normal events that we take for granted, like school, church services, weddings being canceled or postponed. So this social disorder is obviously having a profound impact on the economy, and that's what the market's responding to, is the uncertainty of what this is going to mean. And I think at the end of the day, what we're going to be hitting on is valuation matters. So the question then becomes, how do you value what's going on? We don't think we're going to see the full impact of all of the efforts to control the virus until the second quarter of 2020, but they are starting to, you'll start to see them in the March numbers. But this is going to impact spending at restaurants, entertainment. We're going to see sharp layoffs from companies that are trying to protect profit margins and sustainable business models. And access to credit is going to be interesting. So the list goes on and on. But as part of history, we saw the largest one-day sell-off since October of 1987. Yesterday. So the markets are clearly responding to this. And that's, by the way, on the heels of some serious sell-offs over the last week. So the S&P 500 is down 26%. And that's from the start of the year.
Yeah.
And the VIX is up to 75.
Yeah, really close to 80 yesterday.
So here's, let me unpack what we believe right now, and then we can dig into what we're doing about it. So, obviously, this is a negative impact on global growth. The question now is how long this lasts, and then the impact that it has on the valuation, not only of individual securities, but on markets, and then what this does to credit. So one of the things to watch is to watch credit, because we'll see credit deterioration. We already saw Chesapeake hired restructuring investment bankers. We're going to see more of that, especially coming out of the shale region, but we're going to see that leveraged loan market is going to be put under stress. Turmoil throughout the capital markets, valuation is going to matter here. So how do we look at that? How do we approach that? It starts with revenue. We were looking at 3% revenue growth this year. That's off the table. I think we're going to be lucky to see sustainable revenue, at least near term. And then industries that are going to be challenged, including the pipeline industry, mall REITs are going to be challenged this year, just because this is just an abrupt hit to economic activity. And then business models. So not just industries, but watch business models that are going to be challenged. And their service models that we take for granted, but you know, it's where people interact. We're going to see it in restaurants, food service. It's going to be interesting. Watch residential housing. So the residential housing market, we expect to slow near term as consumers basically shift priorities. We'll see a higher savings rate based on just the shift in consumption and people working remotely around the United States. Then the question is, when the Federal Reserve lowered rates, what did they know? And did it do anything? And so the primary function of the Fed right now is really concerned with keeping capital market functions working smoothly. So lowering interest rates really helps to grease the gears of this economic machine and provide liquidity to the market. So when they lowered rates this weekend, I think they knew that the banking system was going to be under stress as consumers and businesses drew on their lines of credit. And we saw this morning they announced that major banks hit the discount window yesterday. So I think the Fed pretty much knew what was going to happen this weekend when they made those moves. So absolutely, that's the right thing to have done, to keep just preemptively keep liquidity. The last thing you want in an economic crisis is to have liquidity be a compounding effect on economic activity. The next focus is on the airline industry. We would expect to see a federal bailout similar to the TARP program that the government used during the financial crisis be offered up to the airline industry. It's obviously under distress. The flights that I was on this last week, the flight out to Florida was pretty empty. The flight back from Florida was actually pretty full. So, but the places that we stayed were a lot of cancellations, and you could literally hit a golf ball across the rental car wing of the airport. There was just no activity there. So we're in uncharted waters, and especially with respect to dealing with the spread of the virus. So what we do think that with the S&P down as large as it is, that this is the opportunity now heading into the end of the quarter to rebalance portfolios and reposition. So with that, I'm going to stop here and then open it up to Adam and Freddie to talk about a little bit about what we're doing, and then we can kind of cover that ground.
So I'll just cover at a high level. So, I mean, as coming into this, we obviously own a little bit higher allocation to low volatility ETFs. Those have continued to outperform through this marginally. We also have added to alts, which have also outperformed marginally. So over the past couple of weeks, as we've seen ticks down in the market, significant ticks down, we have added to the equity basis. But with that said, it has not been an outright rebalance where we have taken equity back up to our strategic asset allocation. As Greg said, we're still watching volatility, dipping our toe into the water as markets sell off, but we are not by any means all in at this point. So with that, I'll give it to Freddie for specifics.
As Adam has said, we've continuously been adding to our large cap domestic ETF, Schwab X, with each decline to average into our price. But on specifics, everything is really trading at an unprecedented discount right now. And it really seems like fundamentals are kind of thrown out the window. We know about airlines, just looking at the Jets ETF, down 50% in the last month, and the cruise lines, obviously. But to highlight a couple of other laggards that look pretty interesting, JP Morgan is down 37% year to date, trading at 8x earnings. Nike is down 34% year to date, trading at 23x earnings. And Starbucks is down 34%, trading at 19x earnings. The last one, I just want to toss it out there. But Boeing is just interesting, currently trading down 60% year to date, currently 8x earnings at a dollar price of 129. So the last time Boeing was this price, Butler actually made a run in the NCAA.
So long ago.
It's pretty crazy. And to cover a few stocks that have kind of weathered the storm, Amazon is down only 8% year to date. So compared to other large cap tech names, it's outperforming by about 12%. Eli Lilly, healthcare names in general aren't doing that bad, but Lilly is actually flat for the year. You really, if you throw out the words Corona vaccine into a healthcare company, and you already have outperformance right there. So that's been going on with Lilly for the past week or two. And then finally, Costco is currently down about 2% year to date. Bulk buying has been Costco's friend over the last few weeks, and it's held in there fairly well. Although staples are doing pretty good in general, it is the top performing sector year to date, down only 16% versus the S&P down 26%.
So on the equity side, let me add to your list a little bit. Visa, Citi, Lockheed Martin, Cummins, I still like Delta, Google, Disney and Salesforce. Anything that you'd take off the table there?
Disney is a big concern to me. I mean, you've got a lot of shutdowns of obviously the parks, but then even more so, I mean, who's watching ESPN right now? I don't know.
They are re-airing old games. It's amazing.
Probably.
So that's just a concern for me at the moment. I'm not saying it's a no, but.
Yeah, and I get it. And they've got the cruise line business also, and they shut down the theme parks. But they've got just major assets, and the thesis still in the building out of the streaming business is still part of the thesis. But the question then is the decline in the stock adjusted for all of those events? So that's obviously what we gotta look at. Anything that you'd add to that list?
No, that's Citi and Salesforce are two that I'd like off your list. Citi's down 45% actually. Underperforming JP.
So we've not added to international or emerging markets, and I don't know that we have a real intent to do that. We started last year, 2019, with a real initiative to wanting to add, and we were waiting for the tariff issues and Brexit to kind of get settled down. And really, as quickly as those issues got settled down, then this coronavirus started to spread. So it's. I think the United States is in a better position to weather this storm than some of the other countries, particularly Europe right now. And so we're going to keep some powder dry on the international. On the fixed income side, we're doing in taxable accounts, we've got the ability to take some losses on the equity side and then rebalance. So in fixed income, can you talk a little bit about what's going on with credit spreads and high yield right now?
It's almost, there's almost not even any point to talk about high yield because it's just ridiculous and you can't do anything. But last week, index lined out 170 bips with some one-day moves as large as 105 bips. That's not even counting yesterday, which moved out 100 basis points. And you have the index is down 9% on a year-to-date basis, so outperforming equities, but not particularly good. Our up in quality trade has worked, and that would be an emphasis on quotations because double Bs have returned -7.25% and triple Bs almost -4%. So that's outperforming the index there. But the turmoil has locked up primary market issues. There hasn't been anything in the last week and a half, maybe two.
How much on the energy side, how much of the the high yield side, how much of the ETFs are weighted in this energy space that are distorting some of this spread widening?
It is a relatively large portion. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but you very commonly see ETFs and indexes that exclude energy for that reason. It'll affect spreads maybe by 5 to 10 basis points just by itself.
Yeah, we want to be careful about just buying the basis and having an overreach in energy inadvertently because we think we're buying a cheap asset class.
That is the problem. And then you also see that too with these ETFs that they also carry a large portion of triple Cs as well, which is not something that I would be getting into right now.
And to jump in, I think one of the things we're seeing because of that low quality in ETFs is you're seeing a pretty big dislocation of ETFs versus the index. I mean, ETFs should trade at a pretty minimal discount to the asset value. And right now, I mean, it's below 5%.
I actually had a point on that. We did add a small sleeve to SHYG last week. That's the short-term high-yield bond. And the date that we did add that, the amount that it was trading to discount to its NAV was almost 1.5%. And that's not even the most pronounced example you have out there. LQD, one of the most common investment grade ETFs, that same day was trading at a 5% discount. So that's pretty massive.
ETFs rarely trade at a discount to, you know, closed-end funds can, but not.
It just shows you the velocity with people selling these.
So you're touching on a really important issue, and that's the liquidity in the market. So can you guys talk, and liquidity, we take liquidity for granted, especially in the equity market, but it always shows itself in an unusual way in the credit markets. Can you talk about that, Adam?
Yeah, so in credit markets, liquidity is non-existent. It's hard to even get a bid. When you get a bid to sell a bond, the levels are atrocious. You're talking, Charlie, when I went out to go sell some bonds out of a pretty high quality account yesterday, 3-year bond, the bid back was a 12% yield. This is, if you went and got an offer, it'd be 2%.
Yeah.
And then to shift to what supposedly is the most liquid market, which is the treasury market, we continue to see very wide bid ask, half a point, sometimes an entire point. And you're in this market, in a normal market, you're talking a 32nd, maybe 16th. One or two ticks should be the bid ask. Was talking to a trader from Morgan Stanley. It took him 30 minutes to sell 8 million 30-year treasuries. That should be, you should be able to do a market order on 8 million and not have a problem.
we had a problem last week with the bid offer spread on our marks on long treasuries. Well, can you talk about what the bid offer spread should be and what it's been, and just to make sure our listeners understand what to look for?
Right. So when you're buying a corporate bond, especially on spread, you're usually being spotted to the benchmark treasury. So when you spot that, you need to pay attention to where they're spotting it, because when you've got bid ask spreads of half a point or a point, you're talking many basis points, sometimes even up to 10, depending on the bid ask. So you may be getting it. The level you think you're getting is not really the market level. So they're spotting you with a bad treasury mark. So just pay attention to treasuries if you're buying a bond. Just be careful out there, because like I said, the treasuries should be trading with very, very minimal bid-ask spread. If you're seeing a quarter, half a point or more, just be careful.
All right. What else we got? We got some restructuring to do in portfolios today. So anything else for this call that we should be talking about? There's a lot to cover, man.
Energy closed under $30 a barrel.
Oh, oil, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, crude oil.
You got Exxon coming with new debt today.
And was downgraded. S&P dropped them down from AA+ to AA.
They're fine, but still. Yeah, Boeing got downgraded by S&P too.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, we're going to leave you at this point, and we will pick this up next Monday. Thank you.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.